So how's everyone doing tonight? Thank you, both of you. How's everybody doing tonight? That's much better. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Well, I kind of did what I normally do on Sundays after I preach. I go home and sleep. And so that's what I did today. And it was great. I took a little nap. It's exhausting sometimes and had a great time. And it's because Tom and Elaine are party animals. They've been keeping me up late talking. And we were up till midnight last night, so I think that was it. But I can blame it on them. And but we had been having a great time of fellowship and with your pastor and his wife, and so have enjoyed it. And, even though we leave tomorrow, I want you to know that this has been a rich memory for my wife and I. So thank you for having us. Thank you guys for having us, man. It's all right. And we appreciate it. I just wanted just to share just briefly and just talk. And then at the end, just feel impressed to pray for some of you. And let's open up our Bibles, if you have your Bible, to 1 Peter 4. Very familiar passage to all of us because, you know, one of the things that I want to encourage you in as a church, whenever I go to different churches, I always look for opportunities to say, I'm really coming in. I don't want to be viewed as a special guest speaker. I just really want to come in to serve you and serve Tom and Elena and how we can serve the leadership team of the church. It's really what my heart is. And I know I'm a guest and those type of things. But I try to think because I don't think Bethel Fellowship is that much different. I mean, we may do things a little bit differently than what you guys do, but we're pretty much the same in Gainesville, Florida, at Abundant Grace. And so the needs that we have at Abundant Grace, I'm sure, are probably the same type of needs that you have here. And, one of the challenges that you face when you are a smaller church, Abundant Grace, not too long ago, we've been going for 17 and a half years. We're a church now probably of about 275 people. We average about 225 on a Sunday. But 3 years ago, we were probably at about 135 average on a Sunday. And the Lord has just graciously come. And part of that was the economy and different things that took off in Florida that really hurt Gainesville in particular. We lost some dear friends along the way because they had to move for work and people that helped us start the church 17 and a half years ago. It was very hard. My wife lost her best friend in the process. She had to move away, and that's always tough to do, a lifelong dear friend. But God has given us some wonderful people to be around. But one of the challenges that we had in the early years, or 3 years ago, and as we're losing key people in the church at Abundant Grace, was, Lord, what's going to happen? You know, how are we going to fill these voids of all these folks that have left that served? I mean, these people served us. My wife's best friend and her husband, they were like our right arm. I mean, this guy was kept up the maintenance of our building. We met in a school for the first, about the first 10, 11 years we were in a school building, constantly tearing down. Now we have our own building, and we're constantly tear down. And that's what you get when you get a multi-purpose facility. But losing people and key people through the process, it can bring about a sense of discouragement at times. It was, we were just kind of like, Lord, what's going on, in the midst of all this? But the Lord has been kind and faithful because it created, when people leave many times, it created a vacuum, a hole that you would think, okay, who's going to feel this? What's this going to look like? And that's what we experienced. And I know that you guys know that Steve and Manjit are leaving and that they've been a very integral part of this church. And I'm sure it could feel like you could be overwhelmed by that, thinking, what is going to happen? But one of the great things about this is that we have to remember always is that this is the Lord's church. You guys have committed. Tom is the under-shepherd. Jesus is the chief shepherd. I constantly had to tell myself that as the pastor of Abundant Grace Phil, you're nothing more than just the under-shepherd. Jesus is the chief shepherd of Abundant Grace. He's got this church in mind. He has got people in this church that you don't even know about yet. And he's got people that are coming that you don't even know about yet that are going to be able to fill gaps. And so in thinking about that, I thought of 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9 through 11. Let's look at that. It says, "Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister to it one to another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom we belong, the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your kindness to us. We thank you for your word, Lord, which is powerful. Your word, Lord, which gives us grace and ability to see, Lord, that you can do great things. And Lord, we thank you for your word right now, which reminds us of some incredible truths, Lord. And that you have given each one here a gift. So, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us and help me today to communicate, Lord, what you want to serve these good people and to freshly envision them anew and afresh as to what you want to do in Mineota. Lord, I know they hear it. I know they're hearing it from the pulpit on Sunday mornings. But, God, you've got a great plan for this church, and I don't just say that, Lord, because I'm here. Lord, it's because I believe it in my heart. So God, do a work here at Bethel Fellowship in Mineota to bring the gospel to bear in Jesus' name. Amen. When we look at 1 Peter here, Peter is encouraging Christians who are being persecuted. I'm sure they're looking for opportunities to escape and get out of all the persecution that some of them are feeling. Their faith is being tested. And in the midst of this, you can find discouragement. It doesn't seem like things are going really well for the people that Peter is writing to, the Christians here. And so in the process of writing to them, he then begins to talk about serving for the glory of God. And he encourages them and he reminds them, number one, to be hospitable with one another without grumbling. You know, being hospitable is really like, I can tell that that's a gift that this church has. You know, just by the way we had fellowship today, the way that you welcomed me. If you can welcome me today, or if you can welcome guests like you welcomed my wife and I today, this church is going to grow. And if you can be hospitable and you can do it without complaining, oh, you mean we're going to have another, you know, fellowship here, and you know, I got to kill the fatted calf again. You know, I mean, what are we talking about here? And you know, if you can do it without grumbling and you can do it with joy in your heart, because don't you know, people can tell a difference, you know, when you're doing it from your heart, people can tell a difference, or if you're just going through the motions because this is what you're called to do, or this is what I have to do this, you know. I mean, it would be like me having to love my wife, you know. It's like, oh, man, I mean I got to love Kay again today? You know, this is a duty thing. Honey, I do love you. If it ever changes, I'll let you know. You know, those type of things. Don't help out my wife out. I want to constantly let her know that I'm engaged, because there's times my wife has this amazing gift that she can see right through me. It's scary. We'll be having conversations, and I'm looking right at her. And she's up here, and she said, "You're not here." I said, "What do you mean? What do you mean I'm not here? I'm looking right at you." No. "You're here, but you're not here." And I'm like, "How do you know that? How do you know my mind is like going?" And she can just see things through me. It's scary. 32 years of knowing me. It's just amazing. And so we can know, people know, and they can pick up when we're doing it out of a sense of love or out of a sense of obligation, that we have to be obligated to do this. And so when people come through these doors that are guests, I trust. I mean, this is one of the things I love about Abundant Grace. I mean, we give out visitor cards, and I would guarantee you, I would say 8 out of 10 times on the visitor card, or if I'm talking to the individuals at the break or after the service, it is, this is the most friendliest church I've ever been to. Now, they don't ever come back, but go figure. You know, it's like, okay, well, it was nice seeing you. We'll never see you again. Thank you for coming. You know, but they said, churches we've been to, different things, it must be the preaching. The people are great, but the preaching, you're terrible. And so we love the spirit friendliness, but you, you know. So, but the friendliness, and people can tell it's genuine. Our people genuinely love it when people walk through the door. I mean, imagine you being, when you first came to Bethel and what it was like. I hope it was a good experience, and I'm sure it was because you're here. And so when we look at this and when we see this idea of hospitality, it's, I want Abundant Grace to be the friendliest church in Gainesville. I want people to know that when they come in, we are genuinely glad to see them. We are here to serve them that day. And so this is what Peter is encouraging them. So be hospitable with one another without complaining. And in verse 10, he tells us that as each one has received a gift. Now think of those words there for a minute. These are divinely inspired words. As each one has received a gift. Do you know how many times I battle with people, and in a good way of their mind, thinking that they're not gifted because the enemy lies to them. I can't do this. I can't serve because I've got this. I can't reach out here because I've got this. Oh, the Lord hasn't gifted me in this particular area. Oh, I don't know if I can serve here because it's just, you know, no. Each one of you, each one in here, in this room, regardless of your age, has a gift. And it is a gift from God. It is a gift that you are to do something with. It is a gift that is not to lie dormant in your life. It is a gift, as Peter says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So whether it is playing an instrument, whether it is singing a song, whether it is making a meal, whether it is organizing a fellowship, whether it is leading the youth group, whether it is being and serving as a deacon, whether it is, you know, whatever it is that you guys have here, you want to take the gift that God has and to serve one another with it. You don't serve yourself with the gift. That's not what the gift is for. It's not to serve yourself. It's not to bring glory to you. It's to bring glory to God. It's to serve others and bring glory to God. It is to, your gift is to be a instrument and a tool to bring grace to individuals. The grace of God to individuals. This manifold grace of God that is going to be coming to you as you exercise this gift. But so many times Christians just let their gifts lay dormant. And I want to stir up the gifts tonight. I want to stir up the gifts in you to let you see that, yes, every church needs men and women to step up to the plate and serve. Because what can happen sometimes, and I don't know you, I haven't talked to Tom about the church and trying to gauge where people are, different things like that. So you guys may do a great job here. But one of the things that, again, I'm looking at this in light of Abundant Grace. So a lot of things that I'm saying, I'm knowing as a pastor, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, what is it like at Abundant Grace? Well, I'm wondering if it's the same thing here. But at Abundant Grace, one of the things that can happen is many times people aren't using their gifts. They're letting it lay dormant. And one of the things that come out of that is that many times we have the same people that serve all the time. And while I'm grateful for those people, I want to make sure that the other folks aren't just sitting back saying, well, so-and-so will handle that. You know, Kay and the ladies, she's got a team of ladies that handle events. They'll handle all that. I don't really don't. You know, Phil's got these guys over here. They'll do that. And what happens is that we lose out as a church because that person is allowing their gift to lay dormant. We lose out. They lose out because they're not jumping in. And yes, there are times where things jump in. We have young couples now that just had their first child. And now they're realizing what life is really like, you know. Oh, yeah, I can see why you're late sometimes on Sunday now, you know, whereas before it's like, how come people are always late? Well, you, without any children, can get dressed quickly. But, you know, so you have these type things. But what happens is that as they are coming in, now they are serving as care group leaders and they've got young children. And sometimes young children are a gift from God, but we want to be careful because at Abundant Grace, you got those that it can be a deterrent. I can't go tonight. My child just sneezed and they got to be here for 3 months now. I can't take them outside. It's cold. I wouldn't take them outside anyway in this weather, but you know, but you know, you got to be careful of all the different distractions. And sometimes distractions can be good things. Don't you know that? You know, idols aren't necessarily bad things in our lives. Idols are sometimes good things. They're good things and good gifts that God gives us, like our children. They're wonderful things. But we cannot allow, you know, so we've got young people now that are having children that are serving as care group leaders, and they're learning and growing, and I'm seeing them flourish in ways that we see here because they're using their gifts. They're stepping out. They understand because anytime when you go to serve, how many of you know it's never easy? It's never easy to serve. There's always something. There's always something that comes up. There's always something that is in your way. There's always an obstacle that you're probably going to have to overcome to serve. And I see that at Abundant Grace. But as we serve with the gift that God has given us, as we serve with the gift to walk life out together, and I'm using my gift to minister to others, then I am being a good steward of the manifold grace of God, because they are receiving God's grace of the gift that He allows me to experience from them. And sometimes we've got to let other people come and serve and step up to the plate. And sometimes you as individuals may need to say, you know what? I'm just not going to let so-and-so handle it. I'm going to come alongside her or him, and I'm going to join with them and use the gifts that God's given me to be able to accomplish what it is we need to accomplish as a church to make this more effective. This year, one of the things that we do at Abundant Grace is our stage is a little bit wider. It's probably about the same with the width of this here, 50-something, 56 feet or something like that. And at different times, I like different stage designs and our look, different looks for our stage. And we have a young couple in the church that is very creative and very gifted. And a lot of times, I like to have input on those type things. And this particular time, I felt like, no, you're going to have to trust them, Phil, because they came up and said, hey, Phil, can we look to rearrange the stage? And I just thought, okay, rearrange the stage. And how old are you? Okay, now it goes. And so I said, well, what I need you to do is just give me a diagram of what you're talking about, and then let's look at it. But I want you, because there's no doubt you're gifted in this area, and I want to see what you can come up with. And so they gave me this floor layout of what our stage would look like, and I said, wow, that looks good on paper. You know, I'm not very visual. It's like, okay, yeah, you got a box there and this column here, and okay, that looks good. But so I said, yeah, go for it. And so this group of young people came. When I say young, they're in their late 20s, early 30s, and they got together and they're all working hard. And they had, I would say, they would have anywhere from 6 to 10 on a night, doing this stage design set. And you know, I came in on a Wednesday after they had worked on a Monday, and I walked up to the stage, and I, you know, so our stage is up there, and I went like this. I went, oh, okay, that doesn't look like the design. Well, okay, I can see the design. That does look okay. I can see that there. And they came in and like, now we're not done. We're not done. It's going to be okay. And so inside, I could just feel myself as the pastor thinking, okay, breathe, breathe. It wasn't that bad, but I was just saying, okay. Because sometimes when you release other people to do things, they're not doing it your way. You know what I mean? I mean, am I the only one here? Or can you all relate to me? Okay. You know, people do things different than the way I do things. And I don't like it. But they came in on that Saturday. I helped them out a little bit to do the stage because I wanted to get there and help come alongside them and serve them and encourage them. And they got it done. And then they, with the different lights and stuff that we have. And it is the best stage design that we've had in 8 years. I mean, it is phenomenal. It is beautiful. They did a great job. I mean, the church came in on that Sunday morning, and it was breathtaking, man. I mean, they did such a beautiful job on it. And at the end, I said, how many of you love our new stage design after worship? And everybody, man, the crowd, woo, they were going crazy. And what an opportunity for me to thank. I said, you know, this is Nathan and Grace Burmeister here, man. They did this thing. They came up with it. And it just transformed our stage. It was beautiful. I was grateful to God for what they did. But those are the type of things that if I didn't come in and say, you know what, I'm going to let you use the gift that you have. I'm going to let you come in and I'm going to let you serve in a particular way. Or if we do that as individuals, if I was to come in and say, you know what, in order to be a small group leader, you have to be at least 30 and have 5 kids, you know, or something like that. You know, but rather than letting these young people, sometimes when people use their gifts, it can get messy sometimes but they're doing things differently, but their heart is right. They're in there and these young people are flourishing. They've got small children. We've got one young couple that's newly married. They got married young. They have 3 children. They're serving away as care group leaders. They're caring for other people in our church. Our care groups are about, guess what you guys call small groups. So just to let you know. So they're serving as care group leaders. They're reaching out. They're caring for people older than them that are involved in their group. We've got another young couple that has taken on a care group. They have 1 child and then 1 on the way that's getting ready to come. And just to see them flourishing in the grace of God as they're using their gifts to serve others, to minister to others, to lay down their life for the church. Because, guys, laying down your life for the church, there is no greater joy. There's nothing greater. You are preparing and sowing eternal rewards for you in heaven as you serve the church of Jesus Christ. There is something that is dynamic about serving the church to allowing God, because the church is Christ's bride. And as we serve that bride, there's nothing but eternal value that's going to come from it. Is it hard? Yes. It's never easy serving. There's always obstacles. There's always things to overcome. And sometimes we don't do it. Don't serve to gain recognition and to get recognition. Serve because God's called you to. Serve for the glory of God. If you never get recognized, if you never had the opportunity, because I've been in situations where I've served in the past. Before I was a pastor, I was on the team, and I would serve. And you know, the pastor would come up, and he wants to thank everybody. And he thanked everybody down the list but left my name off. Now, that's a heart challenge right there, isn't it? You know, when you come in and you're serving for yourself and serving for recognition. Well, I was on there. Pastor, you forgot my name. You forgot me. And you know what? I was the team leader. How could you forget the team leader? You know, and so you get in there and you're challenged with that because you're not being recognized like you should. And maybe the pastor missed this or maybe you just don't feel appreciated. And maybe just, you know, why? The question is, why are you serving? We serve for the purpose and the glory of God. We serve because it's His church. We serve because there is no greater joy. And whether I'm recognized or not is not the issue. I know I'm going to be recognized by one who's going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Not "well done, good and faithful preacher." Not "well done, good and done deacon." It's going to be "well done, servant." I want to serve God's purpose. I want to serve God's kingdom. I want to serve, and use my gifts to encourage the manifold wisdom of God, to bring grace to individuals. You know, one of the things that we try to do in encouraging the people at Abundant Grace is not only use their gifts for the church, but try to use their gifts for the world as well. So what are some of the things that we could do? So, you know, when you have a baby, you know, you guys may do that it here at Abundant Grace. We try to set up meals for that family for the week or maybe a little bit longer and try to serve that family with that. Well, what we try to do in the process is we try to encourage those in their small groups and the care groups that we have, that if you're working with somebody at work and they have a baby, can that care group go and that person that you know, can you say, "Hey, can I bring you some meals?" Using that gift to bring the grace of God onto that unbelieving family and those unbelievers around there. It just gives you another way to say, not that you're looking again, not that you're looking anything to get from it. You know, well, maybe this will lead them, bring them to the Lord. It may, but it may not. But you're using that gift to serve not only your brothers and sisters in Christ, but you're using your gifts to serve the world as well. You're being hospitable to the world and showing them love and appreciation. And when you do that with no strings attached, it sends a message to people that says, "Wow, there's something different about you guys. What is it?" And then you're able to share the grace and love of Jesus Christ. We have to be careful because we are stewards. This word here is just easily as a manager. We're managing these gifts that God has given us. And as a manager, sometimes we have to overcome things. We have to overcome laziness. "Oh, man, I'm tired. I really don't want to go to small group tonight. You know, well, I guess you guys have your small group on Sunday nights, right?" Okay. At Abundant Grace, we have them on varied nights. Sunday night, Monday night, Wednesday night, and a Thursday night. Different guys chose different nights to lead. So that's more of a Abundant Grace thing. But you could say here, "Well, I just heard Tom preach this morning. Heard Phil preach this morning. I really don't want to hear him again. He wasn't that good anyway. So, you know, let me." But whatever these distractions that can come to your small group on Sunday nights ready to serve, ready to use the gift that God has given you to serve. If anyone speaks, it says in verse 11, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability with which God supplies, that in all things God might be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. We want to serve and use our gifts to bring glory to God, to lay down our lives for the glory of God, to look at God's word and to be able to, if we teach God's word, let's do it. Let's do it with joy. Let's do it to bring Him glory. Let us minister, which God supplies the ability to be able to do that. Let me encourage you on your small groups. And this is what, again, I'm just using our illustration at Abundant Grace. One of the things that we encourage at Abundant Grace is what we do on Sunday on our care groups, probably a little bit different than what you guys do. I think some of you guys will go through a book. Some of you may do something else. But we at Abundant Grace, I will teach on Sunday, and then that night at care group, we will go over my message on what I taught. on Sunday. So it's what we're trying to do is make it more application. How are we going to apply what Phil taught today? How are we going to bring it in and apply it to our lives? That's what we're looking for in the context of our care group. And so what you can do coming into a care group is that you can just say, well, you know what, tonight, the leader is going to lead. No, the purpose of the care group is for you to interact, for you to say something and to get the ball rolling and to where there's a discussion and there's a could be a confession, there could be an encouragement, there could be something in that group, in that small context there that brings, it could encourage somebody with a word or with a prayer. You could serve somebody, but you're talking about in the context of abundant grace where you're talking about what the Holy Spirit convicted you or challenged you that morning in the teaching or that Sunday in the teaching that I did on that particular day. So I encourage our people to come in, not to be spectators. We're called as God's people to be participators. We are to participate in everything that we do. And so when you come into small group, come in prepared to share. Come in prepared to give. Come in prepared to say something about whatever it is that you're going through. Something that God has done in you. Something that God convicted you of. Something that God encouraged you in. So that you're bringing and making that group successful. Because this church, your small group, is only going to be as good and successful as you put into it. The greater you put into it, the greater you're going to enjoy it and love it. If you're not going and you're not saying anything, you're just sitting there and you're just waiting for it to get over, okay, 7:30 can't come quick enough. When's this going to happen? Can't wait for the snacks. I can say that about this place, man. You guys make some snacks. You know, when can this hurry up? Okay, well, another 5 minutes. All right. And if that's your mindset, man, you're losing out. You're missing the grace of God and the evidence of God's grace on that. And so, but if you go in and you're ready to go and you're ready to share your heart and share a perspective that God's put on your heart and you're investing into that group, don't you know that that group is not only going to grow, but that group is going to benefit from you and people are going to be challenged by you and people are going to be like, that encouraged me, man. Thank you for bringing that up. And so you have so many different ways in which our mindset going into a meeting, into a situation, a small group setting, a church community luncheon, potluck luncheon that you're doing. What's your mindset going into that, in those meetings? Are you going in with the mindset to serve? Are you looking for opportunities? Are you praying and asking, saying, God, you know, again, I know that Steve and Manjit are leaving. You know, from what I understand and everything I can see, like I said, there's going to be a big vacuum. Have you asked God that maybe it's you that needs to step up in a particular area that they've overseen? Because you've sat back and we've relied on them for so long that we haven't used our gift to come in and to move to the forefront. Do you think that God would maybe use you to be the one to come in and oversee maybe the music aspect of it? Oversee, I think they lead the youth. Do you think God could put it on your heart that maybe you're the couple, the person to lead the youth group? I mean, you just never know what God could do. God could challenge you and change you in so many different areas. And so I want to encourage you, don't let the gift that God has given you to lay dormant in your life. Use that gift for the glory of God. Use that gift for the glory of God in the context of this local church so that God is glorified through it. Amen? All right, let's pray. And then I'm going to pray for you guys. Father, I thank you, Lord, for tonight. Lord, I just ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, as I know, just as being the senior pastor of Abundant Grace, how much we need people to use their gifts to make Abundant Grace the church that you've called it to be. And sometimes, Lord, I know that there are young people, young couples that they can just look at it and say, well, I'm just so busy or just so many different things that, Lord, I'm just not sure where you want to use me and what you want to do through me. But God, you've gifted each and every person in this room. Each one has received a gift. And now, Lord, may we be good stewards, good managers of this gift. May we manage well. May we serve well. Lord, I look forward to seeing what you're going to do here through those who begin to serve, those who come in with a different mindset at their small groups, those who come with a mindset that I'm ready to go, I'm ready to give, I'm ready to participate. Sunday mornings, small group, throughout the week, looking for ways to serve. God, you've called us to this. And so, Lord, I just pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that, Lord, you would be with Bethel Fellowship. Lord, you know the needs of this church. You know the gifts that are here, Lord. And the great thing about it, I'm confident of this, is that, Lord, the needs that this church has, there are people, Lord, in this church that are gifted to take over those things. Lord, I know that because that's just the way you operate with your church. So, Lord, I thank you. Lord, we thank you for people that are gifted. Lord, we may have relied on certain people for too long, but now, Lord, now we have an opportunity to step up and to make this church our church in a greater way. Not just through attendance and attending on Sunday mornings, not just through giving, but now through giving our lives away for something greater, for the kingdom of God, for the eternal rewards of what is going to be and what is going to happen and take place. So, Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would be with us and guide us. And then, Lord, I pray right now as I pray for people, pray, God, that you would give me wisdom, give me grace, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.